America, and to the rest of our listeners all over the world, you are listening to yet another episode of Let's Weekend, the show where script doesn't exist and the points don't matter.
Except when
pretty sure I took that from somewhere. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and joining me, as always, even though the cast actually kind of mixes up from time to time, I have no idea why the hell I start with that, but... Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Logie, and Teresa Sammons.
Good evening.
Hello.
Bonjour. Hey. So, once again, some shit went down this week.
Yep.
That could be the new name of the show.
Shit went down.
Let's shit.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that would be a very different show.
Yeah.
Yes, that is context, man. Important. So, obviously, we're going to be talking about, once again, some more stuff involving the Trump administration. We're going to be talking about the new shit coming up on Netflix. We're going to be talking about stuff that happened during the Super Bowl, specifically the ads and the trailers. Also, wasn't Lady Gaga's show amazing?
Yeah, I actually wanted to talk a little bit about the Lady Gaga thing. Cause,
all right, we'll do it when we get there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Talk about that.
And then, of course, we will be continuing our Gamer Mag remembrance of Dreamcast Magazine number 2 from November 1999.
Yep.
Because we're old and wistful.
Yeah, things were better then.
All right, so start us off for show, we'll talk about, well, obviously what we always do, talk about what we've been up to this week. So, Phil, what have you been up to?
So, yeah, still doing the audiobook thing. So, right now I'm listening to Neal Stephenson's Remedy.
Or Remade.
No, Remedy.
If you have dyslexia.
Yeah. Yeah, Remade, yeah. It's kind of dumb, actually.
It's one of the dumbest books he's ever written.
Yeah. It involves, like, Chinese hackers, and then, they bungle into a den of jihadists, and then just weird shit happens.
All because of an MMORPG that's specifically based around gold farming.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, I think he tried to do, like, a tech thriller or something, and then just kind of it devolved into a B-grade Tom Clancy novel.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I'll just get through that because, you know, hey, I'm reading it. I might as well finish it.
Mm-hmm.
So doing that.
Good thing you got the audio version. I had the hardcover of that thing.
Yeah.
And
it's a brick.
It's a cinder block, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, he writes a lot and derails himself often.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, not one of his better books. So, anyways. Along with that, I've been watching my copies of Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2040. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just put those on the Plex server now and been going through those.
Right.
Watched the original series last week and was like, well, you know, I actually kind of like the 2040 better, to be honest. Just, I feel like there's more character development and stuff going on in that particular series than there was in the original.
It was the era.
Yeah. So, you know, that's good. I'm enjoying it. I've been listening to a bunch of music, mainly Metallica Hardwired on vinyl, because I got that in. Listened to Dream Theater's 20th anniversary concert, which is amazing. So, I'm doing that. And getting everything ready for the Double Dragon 4 review, which will hopefully be done probably tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah, it's been, you know, sort of eventful. Mm-hmm. Also freezing my butt off, just pointing that out.
Yeah.
Dude, you're in Canada. That's like, isn't that like just a prerequisite for living there?
Yeah, it kind of happens. So, yeah, so that's been my week. How about you guys?
All right, what about you, Pat?
Been on a little bit of an anime binge myself. acknowledging that since I have all 7 season box sets of Ranma 1/2, I might as well put them to use again.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, like, this series is the beginning for me. This is where it all started as an anime fan and all that. And if the timing had been a little better, it probably would be looked at here in the West the way Dragon Ball Z actually is. It's just that good. That
almost
well
was. Almost yep. was for a little while.
Yeah, it was definitely the crown jewel of the VHS era, which was, I'd say, goes from around 91 to Toonami, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then Toonami picked up with Dragon Ball Z, and the rest was history. It was popular already at that point, but Ranma 1/2 was definitely the series that everyone seemed to be gathering around. And if they could have found a way to get that onto network television, the way they got Dragon Ball Z on Cartoon Network, I really think that would have been huge. Other than that, still doing some video planning. Got my next Sound Off video in the works. And got some ideas for maybe another feature that I could be doing on YouTube, but we'll see.
Hmm.
I've just got a really solid idea in mind, and if I can put it together, I'm at least going to give it one shot and run with it. So that's been about it for me. I just barely wrapped up the Yakuza 0 review, and so I haven't had time to think about much else until then.
Okay.
But yeah, that's been my week so far and what I'm going to be doing here for the coming days.
All right. Teresa, what about you?
Well, I borrowed Final Fantasy 15 from the library.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made it through about an hour. And so far, and this is really very early to have any kind of an opinion. But it's due in 2 days, so it's probably going to be the only opinion I have.
Hmm.
At first, I kept thinking I'd rather be playing.
Hmm.
So that was definitely a thing. And then, you know, I was kind of like, well, okay, I see how the fetch quest type things are going.
Do I need to hold Pat back?
Hmm?
That sounds like something that Pat would have gone, fuck you!
No, just how, you know, how you get your jobs. And you,
mm-hmm.
It's just that kind of thing.
No, they did that before with 12.
Yeah.
It's not some huge offense. Mm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did have that with 12. Mm. Yeah, I only got through about 10. Mm. And then I sold it because I didn't like it. That was bad. I don't know. I mean, it's all right, but I don't know that I'm going to finish it. I'm definitely not going to be buying it. So I have played a bit of that, but mostly I've been screwing around with routers. Mm. I got the Archer C7. I picked it up Fusion 1.
Go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It, dropped signal in the corners, so I ended up getting...
Mm.
So far it's pretty good. But it goes around the corner and through the walls and past the stack.
Hmm.
That's
the important thing, yeah.
yeah, hmm. That's probably the second or condo. There are 2 bathrooms. I've been playing a lot of Pokemon. I was driving around this morning, and I realized I had been driving around for an hour, wandering, playing Pokemon Go, and I'm like, is this my life? Is this what I do? But I was going, and I have expanded my territory, and God help items, because I and take it back. there's a lot of Porygons about right now. Anything that's a pink Pokemon has an increased spawn rate. So, come for the licky tongue, but you stay for the slow poke. And there are Clefairy and Leapuff all over the place. So been doing that and finish a story. And I know exactly where it's going to go, but I'm still kind of like, oh, I don't know, it still gets me. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll just Cisco. We're at the point. Ah, never mind. There's spoilers in case somebody hasn't watched it. So.
Yeah.
But other than my main budget.
Cool.
What about you, Chris? Or did I miss someone?
Nope, that's Chris.
Okay.
So the main thing I've been watching this week has been Dragon Ball Z. I got the first two seasons in the DVD sets. I've been watching the first season. I'm pretty much at the point where Goku is about to make his grand reentrance after finishing his training with King Kai. And it's really interesting to rewatch this probably for the first time in about 15 years at this point, since they were airing on Cartoon Network back in the day. So it's kind of reacquainting myself with more of the details, since I mainly just know the sort of highlights of what this whole Raditz and Vegeta saga is all about, which means I endured probably just like 15 episodes of waiting for training to happen. That's like the most boring part, especially when you get like the whole bit of Vegeta and Nappa taking out a bug planet.
So you're not watching Kai?
No. That's on Blu-ray. This is the DVD set. I plan on getting Kai at some point. I want to watch OG Dragon Ball Z and wash myself in that, though. The bad thing is that I only had the first two seasons, so it's not going anywhere after that.
Yeah, it's
pretty much up to the Frieza saga. But this stuff is the stuff that I'm most fuzzy on, of not being 100% sure of everything that happens. I'm basically at the point where Goku's coming back. They took their break, their like 2-hour break, where Nappa just says, "Well, I'm just gonna go fucking kill all these media people, the Navy, and this random city for the hell of it while we wait." And I've almost forgotten the part where Tien just gets his arm just ripped off. It's like, oh, it's cauterized, so I guess that's good. It's not just bleeding all over the damn place. Yeah, that's been pretty good so far. Definitely seen the part where they got like a fresh start on this new series. And said, we can take our time with this stuff. And that's where it starts to fall apart.
Yeah.
As for games, I got my PS4 all packed up and took it in yesterday in like the brief hour window between blizzards. I got about $175 for it, so I put down pre-orders for Horizon Zero Dawn, and the next M will be the show. And still have a good like $30-$40 left over, so I'm set for a couple of games coming out in the next month or two. Amongst all the others that I have pre-ordered, like the Switch and Zelda and Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Which Best Buy just announced they're getting a special steelbook for all their pre-orders.
God damn it.
So it's like, fuck, I had to put my money down for this, don't I? And it actually looks pretty good. I'll probably put a link in the chat for you guys if you want to see that. And along the way, I went up to Best Buy. I ordered something for there. As I was getting up to the area where the Best Buy was at, I ran headfirst into the blizzard. So I was like, oh shit, I better not be going down. I managed to get in and out before it got too bad. And that was when I went back to GameStop. It's right near me. And as I was getting out of there, the blizzard finally reached down that way.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to get some food and get home before this gets bad.
So you're basically luckily, trying to outrun a blizzard.
Yeah. Luckily, it wasn't too bad after that. It was before I left that my car was just covered in about 2 or 3 inches of snow. Having to sort of dig myself out so I could just get the hell out of here.
That is awesome.
I wasn't going to go out because it was tons of snow coming down. And as I was getting clear, I'm like, fuck. If I'm going to do this, I got to get out now.
Yeah, I remember snow. Yeah. Sure, it'd be nice to have some.
Yeah. Oh, I can send you plenty of it.
Yeah, we got lots.
Yeah, and so yeah, that was all good. The thing I got at Best Buy was an enclosure for my old 2 terabyte PS4 hard drive. Okay. So now I can use that as the external. And cool. I moved all of my disk installs to that. Hmm. And have been installing stuff all day.
Yeah.
And redownloading things and making bad decisions. Just overload my network as much as possible. So now I can be a jerk and just download everything again. Hmm. Yeah, I'm still working on installing stuff and like dealing with all the updates. Being surprised at some still being fairly small, but others like 12 to 15 gigs, and it's like, I'll pause you for later.
Yeah.
And the weird thing, so now that I have my old PS4 Pro hard drive is the external on my Xbox One. Now it's interesting seeing how both of those systems handle external hard drives, which Xbox One always defaults to the internal hard drive for downloads. Mm-hmm. PS4 defaults to the external.
The Xbox One can default to the external. You have to tell it to.
I've been looking for that. I haven't found it, but I'll double check.
Yeah, it's.
I know it'll be annoying if I set a couple things to download, and it hits that limit, and it can't figure out. Oh, we got this external. Let's start downloading there. It's not. It just basically stops and it's like, are we allowed to install there? Hello. And I wonder why nothing's happening. I was like, fuck. yeah, PS4 defaults to the external.
Yeah.
So it's just like, basically saying, all aboard, get on.
Yeah.
Got plenty of room.
Yeah.
Yeah, so far so good on that. Back to the games. Playing Fallout Shelter on Xbox One.
That seems like a strange place to play Fallout Shelter, but okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but the controls are not good.
Hmm.
Basically, it's really hard to move around because you're doing a lot of the stuff is just highlighting the individual rooms.
Yeah.
Then that centers the camera, but other times it won't.
Hmm.
Seems like depending on whether you use the left stick or the right stick to move around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes if you're zoomed in enough, the right stick will actually highlight the room that's you're focusing on, so it's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still figuring out the controls, which is weird for a mobile game.
Mm. It's like free to play?
Shouldn't be that yeah. Mm. And it seems like it's harder. I don't remember if the original game you could use your bottle caps for whatever the lunch boxes.
Yeah.
I want to say you could.
Yeah, you could.
This one, it's all confined to quests and the rating stuff you can do.
Ooh.
So it's like a completing those quests gets you lunch boxes on occasion. Mostly it's bottle caps.
Hmm.
So it's been like where I'm mainly getting my loot from raiders. Which is good, because now a bunch of my people have guns.
Mm.
So now, other than waiting for more babies to get born and kids to grow up, I'm going to have people stationed in every room with guns, waiting for them to come in, so they can just get fucking killed. Yeah, it just controls really weird and awkward.
Yeah.
In a way that I know it's because you're trying to emulate touch controls with sticks and buttons.
Hmm.
That just doesn't really work that well, which makes me want to try out the PC version and see how that goes with a more compatible mouse setup.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty okay so far. Hmm. It's just kind of a boring game in a sense, because it's a lot of it's just like watching timers.
Yeah.
Going down like, oh, gotta get my food. Gotta get the water, gotta get the electricity. I gotta wait for the food to go back down, and then the water go back down. Hmm. It's like, oh, we got raiders. And trying to move people around to attack raiders is annoying.
Yeah.
Because there are limits to how many people can be in a room. But it's not always clear about that stuff. Hmm. So it'll just start sending people around into other random rooms. It just gets really hard to manage, pick people up. It's like, how hard can you push in the A button? Because sometimes you need to push it in real hard for to recognize that you want to pick up somebody and move them over to somewhere else. Mm. And it's lots of weird stuff like that. I think they also got rid of the like bios for each of the individual people. Mm. So like, if you want to find out more info, you can pretty much only look at like their equipment and their special ratings. Mm. And their name, I guess. Which I want to say there was more of like a bio sheet in the original game. So like just weird stuff like that. But other than that, I guess it's cross by with the Windows 10 store, so I should be able to just download it on my PC and play from there and not have to buy the stupid Bethesda launcher.
Yeah.
Which is the one thing that kept me from playing that on PC before. It's like, I don't want to download this whole launcher just for this one stupid game.
Yeah.
Because they can't put it on Steam or somewhere else. The other game I was playing, this one I forgot to mention on Day Zero, but it's another PSVR game, NBA 2K VR. Mm. And it's probably the most disappointing game I played so far, especially based on the potential that they could do. With a big brand like that, and be able to do better presentation and all that than most others. The thing that really sucks is on, I think, Vive and Rift, I think it's on both of those, you can use the motion controls to shoot. Here they don't even bother with move control support. Hmm. So you're literally looking down to pick up the ball, looking at the net, and shooting. You're doing it all with your head. It's like the stupidest thing. And so there's like three difficulties in all of the different games. There's like 3-point contests. There's like a skill thing that's really stupid. It's just bouncing the ball off of like trampoline targets. Hmm. And there's another one. It's just like you're just taking shots of longer and longer distances. Then it resets and you just keep going through and getting high score as you can. Hmm. It's like on easy, it's just me looking down, picking it up, looking at the net, throwing it. You see the ball just go flying high into the air and down. It's like, that's just ridiculous what I'm doing. I'm just looking at the ball and looking at the hoop. That's it.
Yeah.
Like really stupid. They don't even capitalize on the NBA part of it to the extent they could, because you could say pick your favorite team and have everything's skinned out for that. Mm. No. It's just a generic NBA court. Mm. I think it's more all-star oriented. But even still, it's really stupid. And it's really stupid for something that they're charging $15 for.
Ooh.
I at least got it on sale for $9. Mm. It's like, I haven't heard good things, but I want to see this for myself.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I see it. It's a... for like 2K's first VR thing. I guess it's technically the second. Carnival Games is actually really good. But NBA 2K is not. Hmm. It's just like the most boring
game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I would say Wii Sports Resort's basketball thing was better than this. Which is saying a lot. Because you could actually shoot the hoop with the Wii remote.
Yeah.
This is just staring at a ball and staring at a hoop. Yeah. That's the gameplay. It's more fun on the easy mode because it's even stupider. You just kind of look in the general direction of the hoop and it goes in.
Yeah.
3-point shooting contest. I missed like one shot the entire time. I was like,
really pushing. Really pushing the limitations of the definition of a game.
Yeah.
Like kind of a tech demo, maybe.
It was definitely harder, but it's like the most minute controls. differences, like aiming differences. It's like, this is really stupid.
Mm.
It's like, I have to control my head somehow really, really well, but yeah, really stupid.
Mm.
So I'm probably going to do a video of it just to show this off, make it more worth the $9.
Yeah.
Show everybody else. Don't do what I did.
Don't buy this game.
Yeah. Don't buy any 2K game.
Yeah.
Just don't do it until they put more effort into this stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's your turn, Brandon.
All right. Well, first and foremost, I am still very much in Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Nice.
Oh yeah. Nice. As I have to once again remind people who are listening and may want to play, first of all, it is a great game. Very much worth playing. But it is not a Persona game. It is very much an old school Megami Tensei game.
Mm.
It's pretty much all first in the first person, except for when you're in the dungeons.
Yeah.
The characterization that you that is in a Persona game is not quite as intense as it is in this one. The characters are still very much characters, and they're still fairly well developed, but you know, it's not quite as elaborate as Persona is. This game is really goddamn hard. It is, because I don't know if a lot of people know this. The Mega Ten series basically started the whole Mons genre, where you know you have to basically get monsters to fight on your side.
Yeah,
you know, where Pokemon and all that. Basically, it starts in the in the Mega Ten series, and this isn't as easy as, you know, throwing a Pokeball at them or anything. In the Mega Ten series, you have to actually talk to these various demons, you know, have conversations, answer questions they give, and then usually you have to give them something.
Hmm.
And even then, there's still a 50-50 chance that they may just take your shit and run. As they're demons, you know.
Yeah, the original Persona, at least the first one, was like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the two second games were like that. I remember doing a lot in the first one, and it was kind of annoying because they didn't have like the things we have now of like easy to see guides for what different types of demons generally like or things like that. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. But it is really interesting, the world that it's presenting, and it's, again, like, probably one of the things Mega Ten does best. It suggests a lot of stuff, and usually follows through. Or it goes completely in another direction. As anybody who's ever played a Persona game knows, the Megami Tensei series has a tendency to go completely off the goddamn rails. Usually at some point you have to kill God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's basically how all video games should end.
Yeah, you can get Satan in your party.
Mm.
Yep. So, yeah, I've been doing that. And, of course, you know, I am still going through Witcher 3 and Final Fantasy 15. You know, I have to be careful because I don't want to spread myself too thin, especially considering, you know, March is coming up. And
yeah.
Then everybody cries.
Yeah, all the shit's coming out. Zelda's coming out. Mass Effect's coming out.
Everything's coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, For Honor's coming out next week,
and
I'll probably wait to see what Dan Reb has to say about that. But
yeah, he's playing the beta, so
yeah,
I'll have to ask him what he thinks.
Well, he's going to be on the show Sunday, so
hopefully.
Alright, and so yeah, there's been that. I've been still doing more Bakemonogatari and Nisio Isin stuff in general. Like I said, I finished the first proper Bakemonogatari book last week, and I went ahead and pre-ordered the next one, which comes out, actually, I'm pretty sure actually comes out later on this month. But I've also been reading Kizumonogatari, which is the prequel novel that basically explains where that little yellow, little blonde-haired lowly vampire comes from. Quick spoiler, she wasn't always a little lowly. Let's just say that she basically had to give up a bunch of her power to become that. And also, I got the first volume of the what's known as the Decapitation Kubakiri Cycle, which was actually the book series that made Nisio Isin famous before he started the Monogatari series. It's a lot pretty standard for someone like him. It's basically, you know, detective stories where the women characters are just a little off and just have weird things going on in their heads.
So they're Yandere.
No, not Yandere so much as
Yandere.
More like maybe sort of was dropped on their heads when they were born. Like that kind of odd.
Oh.
Just garden variety odd.
Yeah. So yeah, I've been reading that. God, his stuff is so much fun to read. So yeah. I mentioned this, I'm pretty sure I mentioned this either last week on this show or the Day Zero. I started reading a translated version of Eiya Nishitani's original Megami Tensei novel, the one that inspired the game series. There's a blog that actually exists that where the dude has is translating the entire trilogy, and he's already translated the entirety of the first volume. So, if you want, I can give you guys your the link after the show.
Yeah, drop a link in the show notes and
yeah,
so people can go check it out.
All right. I've been trying to explore local restaurants. So something really strange and yet wonderful has been happening to the state of Georgia. Ever since The Walking Dead, Georgia has sort of suddenly become this sort of mini hotbed for film and television production. Obviously everyone knows William Street is here. So this is basically where Adult Swim is located. And of course Walking Dead and a bunch of other stuff has been filmed here. And so because of this, over the last 10 years or so, Georgia and Macon in particular has started to become more diverse. And what this means is that suddenly we get fairly exotic restaurants showing up. So we now have, last I count, about 5 different Chinese restaurants in town. We got 2 Vietnamese places. We got 1 Thai place, a couple of Indian and Middle Eastern places. We even have a Caribbean place that I went to last week, which was really good, actually. And we do have a few Japanese and sushi places as well. It's just really amazing how in my lifetime and in a fairly short amount of time, Macon kind of went from the sticks to unusually diverse.
Yeah.
Have
you been doing the whole Yelp thing? And
I avoid Yelp like plague. So.
Okay.
I don't trust it. I prefer Google reviews, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because you basically have to be local to do those.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And it's funny, too, because, well, my parents now are much more open to eating different stuff now.
Yeah.
But I kind of had, when we first went to eat Chinese, when I first went to eat Chinese with them, I kind of sort of had to push them into it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as I, anybody who, okay, so just quick question. Has everyone here has eaten Chinese food at
one point,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We all have. Okay. for a person who hasn't eaten Chinese food before, just go to a Chinese restaurant and take a time at the menu. Trust me, you will find something you'll want to eat.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's Chinese food is extremely diverse, and it's only slightly more exotic than you think it is.
Yeah.
They probably have some sort of sampler thing that you could try if you really just want a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you're really into it, you can always ask the Chinese menu, which is, for those you don't know, that's the, a lot of Chinese places will have their sort of secret Chinese menu for Chinese nationals who want more exotic Chinese stuff, like, you know, Phoenix Talons or that type of thing.
Hmm.
Anybody know what Phoenix Talons is?
I'm not sure.
Crispy fried chicken feet.
Hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. They eat them over in China at bars like we do peanuts.
Hmm. Oh, that's right. Carl Pilkington was, yeah.
Really good. You just got to be careful because there's lots of little bones in there that you don't expect to be.
Yeah.
But that's what I've been doing. Been pretty awesome. Has anybody got anything else they want to add real quick?
Before
I move on? We're good? Okay, well then, it's time once again for yet another installment of everybody's favorite segment of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. So this week I don't necessarily have anything extremely groundbreaking or awe-inspiring, but I do have something that's fairly interesting. So, as everybody knows, we had the big sort of Civil War anniversary last year. Or at least the year before last. I can't remember which one it was.
Really?
Yeah, because
it wasn't a big thing up here.
It's the South. You gotta remember.
Yeah.
We kind of take that shit seriously down here, in case you haven't noticed.
That's their hashtag resist.
Yeah. Ask Lee. He lives in Atlanta. Yeah. There's a mountain there where they've got the three horsemen of the Confederacy
I've seen that.
Carved into the side of it.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Should I put a quick link in the picture? Quick pic in the link.
Yeah, we're good.
How's that for a spoonerism?
Nerds.
Yeah, we'll Google it. It's cool.
Alright. Well, anyway. So who here knows who the last verified Civil War veteran was to die and what year he died in? Without Googling.
No.
Exactly. I'm going to tell you. It was a Union soldier by the name of Albert Woolson. He died at the age of 109, and get this, in 1956.
Yeah, that's old.
Yeah, he was. Now, here's something even weirder. At least as far back as 2013, there was still one living child of a Civil War veteran who was still getting an $876 annual pension from the VA.
Wow.
Yeah, did you know that?
Nope.
Now, there was actually two, but one of them the one who lived in Tennessee died back in 2015. Mm-hmm. We don't know who the actual name of this person is because for obvious reasons, the VA won't give out identity.
Yeah.
But we do know that they are 93 years old, that they live in North Carolina, and that they live in a nursing home.
Hmm.
As far as we know, every year they get a $876 check, which of course goes towards, you know, helping with care and all that stuff, because everybody knows private health care in the United States.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's actually, I think that's the reason I like to bring stuff like that up is because I think a lot of people, because the war happened way back in the middle of the 1800s, we have this idea of how like far back it was. Like it's been so long, but up until fairly recently, there were still people who lived and participated in that war and saw all the ugliness of it, who were still living well into the 20th century.
Hmm.
Yep.
And there's at least still one relative that's still living in the 21st century.
Yeah.
fact, the last well-known Civil War widow, a woman by the name of Gertrude Janeway, actually passed away at the age of 93 in 2003.
Hmm. She saw now, the internet.
Yeah.
That's
now, for the record,
mind-blowing.
Yeah. Now, for the record, and I need to point this out, the reason, if that sounds pretty amazing, but you have to remember, she married her husband in 1930.
Yeah.
She was 18 at the time, and he was 81.
Eh, I've seen him.
Good.
And before you're asking, no, she wasn't a gold digger. It was a little bit more complicated than that. But
you think?
Yeah.
Well, but you were gonna get the story about how it was complicated.
No.
Oh,
I kind of thought we would.
But actually, to be honest, considering this was New England in 1930, it was probably like he was help, like she was like a help or something, and maybe it was for tax purposes.
Yeah,
because he was getting old, and healthcare in 1930 wasn't exactly the best for older people.
Hmm.
So, get the idea.
Yeah.
Back then, making it to 81 is a tremendous accomplishment in and of itself.
Yeah. And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. This installment of Brandon's Random Factoid has been sponsored by The Truth. The Truth. Yes, slavery was the cause of the war. Fuck you.
That's no alternative fact.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Commentary. All right, so are we ready for this?
Yay.
Are you ready for this?
I love your enthusiasm.
All right, so.
It's weird because this week's asshole and hero of the week is actually combined.
Yes, so, and you need to know, it all comes down to the following phrase. She was warned. She was given an explanation. Nevertheless, she persisted. Who wants to start us off?
Oh, why the hell not? Senator Mitch McConnell.
A.K.A. Yertle the Turtle.
Yeah. You have given the rally cry to almost every woman in America who is awake. Oh, my God. How he shut her down. For reading Coretta King's, it was a letter.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one she wrote in 1986 to block Jeff Sessions from...
Who is now becoming, our Attorney General.
Yeah, from him becoming a federal judge at that time.
Yes.
Even though men were allowed to read it.
Okay, so a little bit more context.
Yes.
Up this week, Jeff Sessions, the Senate was voting on whether or not to allow Senator Jeff Sessions, Republican, who was nominated by President Trump to become the Attorney General. Obviously, and as soon as people started hearing about this, there was a lot of shit, because Jeff Sessions is a giant asshole. Just looking and listening to him, he sounds like one of those old school Dixiecrat white supremacist assholes from like 1950.
I've heard a great description of his look, that he looks like a kid who was given a serum to turn him old.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Ross Perot in a kind of ironed on his face way.
Yeah.
He looks like Ross Perot with an ironed face.
And Ross Perot is sane compared to Jeff Sessions. that's a whole nother story for another day. But, okay, so, Senate was voting on whether to make Jeff Sessions Attorney General. Democrats called for a filibuster. And so the filibuster happened. And so, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat, got up to the podium and started reading, as Teresa said, a letter written in the mid-80s by Coretta Scott King, the late widow of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., against the nomination of making Jeff Sessions a federal judge. And there were numerous reasons why. Really, though, to sort of compact it all down to the reason why Jeff Sessions is someone not to be trusted, there's a single sentence that he actually uttered at one time that is, in fact, completely verifiable, and he says he said it when he said that, "I used to really like the KKK until I found out they smoke marijuana. Good people don't smoke marijuana."
That was his issue.
Hmm.
That pretty much epitomizes everything that is fucking wrong with Jeff Sessions.
In just one or two sentences.
And if you're wondering a good way to tell all about him is to know that he is senator from Alabama. State notorious for
lynching,
racism, anti-women stuff. It's really hard to get abortions in that state, legal ones at least. Obviously, a long history of fighting the civil rights movement. Still do.
Yes. Yeah, and he just, and make it even worse, he was one of the few senators who voted against reenacting the domestic abuse law because it included pro-LGBT and, language inside of it.
Yeah.
Yes, he really is that big of an asshole. And so, Mitch McConnell, a.k.a. Yertle the Turtle, one of the most spineless, backstabbing, two-faced people in Congress, and that is saying something.
Not even really liked in his own district.
No, he is very much reviled there. Basically used an obscure law from 1902 to basically silence her.
Yeah, the law was made because there's an actual fist fight that broke out after some insults.
I'll be honest, I kind of wish fist fights would start up in the Congress again.
Yeah, that needs to be a thing.
You know,
especially fist fights like from that era.
I gotta be honest, I think that it might.
Well, yes, and then that will once again be the signal that, yep, we're fixing to start up another civil war.
Civility's been out the window for ages now.
Yeah, I mentioned pretty much on this show a few episodes ago about the story of one of the senators. I think it was from the South, and the other was from the North, who gave an anti-slavery speech, and then he said something about the guy from the South's cousin. He showed up and beat him over the head with a cane in the halls of Congress.
Yeah, yeah.
Violently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
damn near killed the guy.
Yeah.
But So, yeah, and when people asked the folks at Congress, and I think it was specifically McConnell himself, said, "Why did you shut it down?" He basically said, "Well, she was warned, we gave her an explanation, and she persisted." And that may have been the death nail. That may be hit the death nail of his time in Congress. yeah, he pretty much has given the rallying cry for pretty much every woman in America who hates Trump. Holy shit.
Yeah, I seriously, my face, this is everywhere, you guys. This is everywhere.
Granted, they kind of mess it up by saying "still she persisted" instead of, but the point still gets across.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're paraphrasing there, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, I've always been, was hard, so it's job. But I find myself thinking perhaps some of the struggle back in the 70s and the 60s.
Yeah, you can just look at what Hillary has gone through for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
She's one of the most accomplished politicians we've had, and yet every little flaw she has is blown up as this great big sin. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is full of great big sins. Yeah, he's a man. That's okay.
No, he's, yeah. He's the victim. Yeah, it's I don't know. I'm gonna probably a very long time.
Yeah. You see the crazy thing with that letter? We nearly lost that letter to time.
Mm-hmm.
It was
Strom Thurmond.
He was supposed to be the one that archived it, and he did not. Big surprise.
Wow, what a shock.
Well, I like looking at this letter at the bottom. The CC is to the Honorable Joseph R. Biden, Jr.
Yep, that's right.
So, yeah, it wasn't too racist to read this back in 1986. But in the year 2017, apparently it is too racist to read this.
Yeah.
Well, that was technically going to be our asshole slash hero of the week, but we still have some bonus heroes. First of all, CNN's Jake Tapper, who has sort of become completely inadvertently, because let's be honest, up until this point, Jake Tapper basically had the personality of a wet napkin.
Yeah.
But combined with his sometimes sometimes kind of unusual ability to stay calm, combined with his fact that no, he's not going to take any of this shit.
Yeah, Jake lots Tapper of pictures has of him during yeah. this, just him and his like sour look yeah. as Kellyanne Conway is talking to him.
Jake Tapper,
this is what we all feel like right now.
Yeah. Jake Tapper has become has become completely outside of his own will the sort of voice of dissent in the mainstream media against the Trump administration.
Which means he understands the media's role in this.
Yeah. And he has pretty much every... All right, who wants to do this one? Because it's not just one thing, it's been a series of things. And he's pretty much been one of the few people that have actively gone up to Kellyanne Conway and saying, bitch, you lying.
Yeah, so this one specifically has come after Spicer was talking about Trump complaining that the media is not reporting on terrorist attacks that are happening in Europe and, and around the world, I guess. Basically saying, suggesting there's a conspiracy between everybody in the media to not report these things. And it's like, in this era of social media, if anything happened, that stuff spreads like wildfire. There is no way that any of that stuff would not happen. So they put out a list of a bunch of their underreported terror attacks. It's also linked on here. Looking through the list, there's Orlando. Remember that big, huge event? Orlando?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, France. Paris, France. What else is on here? I want to say there's Brussels, another big one. It's like there's a bunch of big ones here. San Bernardino.
Fuck yes.
I want to say they misspelled Bernardino on this thing.
They probably did.
There was one list. Oh, yeah, here it is, the same list. They misspell attacker on every single one. They list every single thing. It's misspelled as a taker. Every single one. It's like, this one seems, yeah, here it is. It says a taker and has their name, and it just repeated after again. It's like, they just copy and pasted this.
Yes, they did.
Never looked at it again. And yeah, so Conway, when she came on, Jake Tapper, at least the first video they show here, they have it split up into a bunch of clips. He basically goes to show dozens of clips of them talking about many of these attacks. They were supposedly not reported on. And she very much recants on the whole fake news thing for CNN, which I was just reading Twitter, and Sean Spicer is bringing that back up again. It's like, you guys are trying to get the media off your back. Continually attacking them is not a good way to do it.
Nope.
No.
And Kellyanne, victim, she's playing the victim. She's the victim.
You're starting to notice that that's a common thread with pretty much all of Trump's people.
Yeah.
And you realize that's kind of why he picked them.
Yeah.
Because he sees himself in them.
And one of the big terrorist attacks that they were she was talking about last week was the Bowling Green Massacre. It never actually happened.
It didn't happen.
Nope. It's false. It's a fiction.
It was
that was actual an
incident
fake news.
Involving Iraqi nationals from about 3 years ago, but nothing actually happened out of that.
Nope.
But they caught them, deported them, all that stuff. Yeah, she apologizes for that, so she really regrets messing that up. Let's see what else here. Oh yeah, talking about how Trump has not commented on the Quebec attack.
Well, he doesn't
somehow that
everything.
He was complaining about department stores and shit like that and can't offer condolences to Quebec.
Mm. And defended it by saying...
No, just the stuff that relates to him personally.
Yeah.
Even though this does kind of relate to him personally, considering the guy who did the Quebec attack was a Trump fan.
Mm.
And the fact that Canada is one of their biggest allies.
Oh, yeah.
Keep going. That won't last long.
Yeah.
There's already did you know there's already people trickling into Canada now?
Yep.
Yeah.
From the U.S.?
Yep.
Yep.
And you see France, one of their people running for, what is it, president or prime minister?
Prime minister.
Prime minister. Is saying, hey, any climatology scientists want to come up here? We'll take care of you. We'll keep your funding secure and all that stuff.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's like, hey. Jake Tapper nailed her and Trump on his stupid tweeting and not being able to say once offer condolences to people of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for the obvious reasons that it was an attack on a mosque.
Mm-hmm.
Very much the animosity he has been trying to stir up. Mm-hmm. With the Muslim ban stuff. And she eventually says, you can put us down as being extremely sympathetic anytime people lose their lives. It's like, that's not how it works.
No.
You don't just get to say, hey, we're sad about anybody that dies from now to the end of time, so we don't have to mention it. You're supposed
also,
to.
Also, I want to just point out, I think, I just want to point out, and I think I may have mentioned this last, during the last episode. For a long time, Fox News on their Twitter feed said that the guy who was suspected of the Quebec massacre was a Moroccan Muslim refugee or immigrant.
Yeah.
Which is not true. He was actually the witness that called the police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Fox, for a long time, would not take it off their Twitter feed. So Justin goddamn Perdue himself had to actually call the people at Fox and tell them to get that shit off their Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane. I did see that, but that is insanely horrible.
When you have a world leader having to call bullshit on the media, you got problems.
Speaking of bonus hero of the week, important world leader, Prime Minister Abe.
Yep. Shinzo Abe.
You see that handshake?
Of Japan.
He looks so creeped out by that.
Then at the end, he's like, oh, God, I don't have to touch him anymore.
No, that's not what happened. But that's probably part of it, too.
That's what it looks like he's doing at the end.
They're shaking hands. Donald Trump and Abe are the camera. And midway through, Donald Trump is saying, what is he saying? A cameraman or whoever saying.
Hmm.
And Abe translated. Donald Trump proceeds to look at Abe. And he's like, and Abe's saying, no, look at me. And with his other hand, he's pointing towards the cameraman.
Yeah.
And Trump doesn't get it. And so for 19 seconds, or well, the handshake was 19 seconds, but for the whole like last half of it, Trump is staring at Abe's straight eyeballs. And then it finally breaks, and Abe looks over up at his assistant or whoever, like, holy shit, this guy really is thick as a damn tree.
God damn it.
Apparently when he was doing his speech,
yeah,
when Abe was doing his speech, he Trump declined the earpiece with the translator talking to him.
Hell. God damn it, Trump even made me kind of like Shinzo Abe a little bit. And Shinzo Abe is not an easy person to like.
No. So, yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, so with the Jake Tapper stuff, there's a great line he had when he was talking about the Quebec attack and Trump's stupid tweeting. Is are these victims any less dead? Sort of their whole ignorance of the people that died.
Yeah.
In that attack, which is just something that really shouldn't have to be told to the president or anybody on his administration staff. Yeah, there's like the whole thing where Trump claimed that the U.S. murder rate is the highest in 47 years, which it's not.
Nope. It's actually been going down steady. It's actually been going down steadily for the last 50-60 years.
Yeah.
And there's like one little uptick in the last like year or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Oh, can we think of some reasons why?
And
right on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
Maybe the Republican administration?
Well, anyway, we need to kind of keep this going at a steady pace. So
just a great end to that whole Jake Tapper thing where she looks like she's having a horrible time, but she's like, thank you, I was having fun here.
It's fun, we're all having fun! Anyway, so our other bonus here of the week is the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, who have basically, as far as we know right now, struck down the infamous Muslim ban.
Their job, and they're doing it well. Thank you.
And, of course, Trump, being the man-child that he is, tweeted
the
in
idiot
all,
that he is.
Yeah, in all caps, basically blew a gasket. It was like,
see you in court. The security of our nation is at stake.
So,
I guess this means it's going to end up going to the Supreme Court.
He's revolting against the court's decision by ceding to the judicial branch.
Basically.
Yeah.
He has no idea what he said there.
No.
Nope.
There's a nice meme of Hillary and Obama laughing. It's like, and he said, I'll see you in court to the judges.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they did their job. As far for right now, at least, the law is officially struck down. It cannot be legally enforced.
Mm.
Though, unfortunately, that's not necessarily going to stop some people.
Nope. Still.
But we have the law on our side for right now, so that's something.
Yeah.
And Hillary tweeted 3-0.
Yep.
Oh, she did actually break her radio silence here.
Yeah.
She
did. All right. Oh, by the way, speaking of Sean Spicer.
So I guess everybody saw that SNL skit?
Oh, yeah. God, yes.
Moose lambs. Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's doing that whole
beat turn.
And I guess we're on the verge of some greatness if Rosie O'Donnell ends up coming in to play Steve Bannon.
Oh,
have
God,
you seen what her avatar on Facebook is now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that will be epic.
That will just be one of the greatest fuck yous they could ever give to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Because he has had an ongoing like 15-year feud with Rosie O'Donnell.
And apparently Sean Spicer being made fun of by a woman is something that's apparently a huge deal to him. Apparently, like, a lot of the leaks coming out is that the fact that he is getting made fun of by a woman is something he cannot stand.
Is there, by the way, a Twitter account that has a somewhat comprehensive list of...
Well, there's
there was a rogue account, but I think people are...
Yeah,
figuring out is potentially a Russian thing, plant account or whatever.
Yeah, but it's all, you know, don't worry, the information's going to come out one way or another.
Yeah.
The fact that it fooled people shows how bad things are going, that even this, like, fake plant news doesn't seem out of the realm of what can happen in there.
You know, I was really downtrodden about all of this, and I still am. It's still an undercurrent there, but right now, man, I am that meme. This gonna be good.
Yeah.
Got my little folding chair.
Just that. Goddamn. Just. I mean. The truth of the matter is, Melissa McCarthy, all she really had to do was get up in some makeup and basically was just herself. I mean, she really didn't have to do that much.
Yeah.
She did a good job keeping a straight face while everybody was losing it.
Yeah, that's called really dedication.
Yes.
I like the part with the gum where she's just filled her mouth with gum and she has no idea what to do with it.
She's like, I'll deal with you later.
I didn't expect her to go get that podium.
I didn't realize that wasn't like an actual wooden podium. She just picks it up and just starts shoving it into people.
And yeah, that whole thing with the props was just genius.
Yeah.
So if anybody hasn't watched it, what the hell?
It's on YouTube. The whole thing is on YouTube. You can watch it for free.
Yeah.
I like the fake cold open bit she has in there. She's like, live from New York. We already did that. Too late for that.
Yeah,
that already happened.
Yeah.
It's like they had a fight over which one got to be the cold open, that one or the Trump and Bannon one.
Hmm.
Yeah, where Bannon was basically played by
the Reaper.
Grim Reaper. And Trump's over there at little baby desk playing with a toy.
Yeah.
I love how like the biggest enemies of the current White House is number one, immigrants, number two, SNL. Number three is I'm not sure what number three would be.
The rest of the world.
A lot of the people inside the White House, apparently.
The judicial branch.
Yeah.
That's the real enemy of the White House. The actual.
Because there are people who've been working at the White House for, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling a lot of them hate Trump's guts.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Steve Bannon, something else to get worried about. So Steve Bannon has a number of, shall we say, philosophical influences. And one of them just so happens to be the guy who was basically the godfather of Italian fascism.
Yeah.
A crazy person by the name of Julius Evola. Or Evola, depending on how you want to pronounce that.
Mm. Well, it's Italian, so probably be Evola.
Mm. Okay, so some things you need to know about Julius Evola. For one thing, he was a crazy batshit insane occultist who was into hermeticism and ritual magic and that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he was also fucking out of his gourd. He also was one of the people who helped inspire the concepts of racialism inside Italian fascism. He took the concepts from theosophy. Theosophy is a completely different subject you need to look into. But one of the things in theosophy was this idea that all of humanity started from what they call root races. Now, in Blavatsky's work, the founder of theosophy was a woman named Helena Blavatsky. This didn't necessarily mean any kind of superiority or anything from any particular race. It was just a concept she had. But people later on would take that and then, of course, put it in with social Darwinism, and suddenly you have the racialism that Julius Evola started. Evola also believed in the virtue of war. At the time he lived in, he believed that we were living in the age of Kali Yuga, which is an idea that comes from Hinduism, a dark age of materialism and spiritual degeneracy, and that therefore the world needed a spiritual rebirth through submission to unreasoning tradition. In his view, matriarchy and women's rights were evidence of regression, while patriarchy is a progressive force. Is any of this starting to sound familiar?
Yeah.
Oh, and he was also really into tantric sex. He basically believed you should hold on to your semen.
That's not good for the prostate, you guys.
No,
it's really not.
No.
He was... Julius Evola, first of all, most you need to realize, he despised the institution of democracy. And any person who is working with the president of the United States, which is a constitutionally democratic republic, that should make you worried.
Yeah. Many people are already worried, especially given that he's, going to be the security secretary now.
Oh yeah.
So
he's on the NSC.
Yeah. That's a great place for him to be.
And he believes in that pseudoscience, the fourth turning, that another war is completely inevitable. You know, just because you read one book in 1997, and that's the only book you read, that it's real.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but to really make everything just really worry, this is basically the sum of Julius Evola's politics. And I'm going to read, this is from Rational Wiki, and it's three paragraphs, they're fairly short, but I'm going to go ahead and read all of them because they're important to know. And remember that the number two person in the White House is apparently a devotee of this guy. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Evola's politics flow from his mystical attitudes towards manliness and spirituality. He held that politics should be an act of spiritual discipline and should look upward and beyond the self. He opposed democracy as a sort of modern demagogic politics. Its materialism is a result of the inversion of the natural order of things in which disciplined warriors are in charge. He admired the Hindu caste system, Plato's Republic, and the medieval European social order as systems where people who concerned themselves with merely materialistic stuff like food and other commodities were subjugated to their betters in spirituality and prowess. Like Oswald Spengler, he believed that decadent times had come when commercial interests become more powerful than religious or military interests in society. Current order, instead, places weak and materialistic merchants and business people on top rather than the warriors or the priests. He writes, quote, "Opposite to the soldier was the type of the warrior and the member of the feudal aristocracy. The caste to which this type belonged was the central nucleus in a corresponding social organization. This caste was not at the service of the bourgeois class, but rather ruled over it, since the class that was protected depended on those who had the right to bear arms." And here's the part, this last part here, this last paragraph you really need to pay attention to, because this is the one above all the others that's going to scare the shit out of you. Evola was also a fierce anti-Semite. Big shock. In many of his writings, he blamed the Jews for fostering the rise of the modern capitalistic society and the spread of materialistic values. He felt that anti-Semitism was a necessary part of any racial rebirth. He wrote an introduction to an Italian translation of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, saying, and this next part you had real to pay attention to, saying that he wasn't concerned with whether the actual text was authentic or a fabrication. To him, the essence of what it was saying was true, and that was all that mattered. Kind of takes that whole concept of alternative facts in a whole new light, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
And that's who you've got in the White House.
So if you wanted the sort of person that can create Breitbart.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, he didn't create Breitbart, but he did take it over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
So, moving on from there, that bit of pants-shitting terror, Martellus Bennett, who is the Patriot, one of the Patriots, what position does he?
He's a tight end.
He's a tight end. He dished out some real talk about reaching beyond racial stereotypes. Chris, was this you?
Yep.
All right, give us a...
So, in the wake of the Patriots winning the Super Bowl, he was one of two Patriots that... is going to decline going to the White House.
I'm sure there's more than two now.
Well, at least two publicly
that
have announced it already. And so he has basically been talking about on his Twitter feed, which is Martisaurus Rex, which is a pretty good handle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about how he doesn't want to be just a stereotypical jock. He wants to reach far beyond that with his wealth and sort of encourage more black kids to think that they don't have to resort to sports or rap or any of that sort of stuff if they don't have interest in it. And so he has a nice bit of a rant or just messages on his Twitter feed. I found gold, fruit, joy, success, happiness, and I'm going to build a bridge so that my friends can do the same. This is a metaphor. I have two libraries in my house, thousands of books. I love to read because I know that for a long time, ancestors weren't allowed to. I love to write because for a long time, my people weren't allowed to. So I'm going to write my books, my apps, and tell my stories. Just for context, he has written a kid's book, does a lot of other stuff in that vein. He also says, I'm going to speak my mind because guess what? That's right, for a long time, my ancestors didn't have a voice. When you look at me, what do you see? I know you want to ask me what sport I play. I mean, what else could I possibly be besides an athlete? When you look at me, see the father, the awesome dad, the author, film director, business owner, champion, friend, Hufflepuff beast. Shut up and stick to sports. Enjoy the low-hanging fruits, Marty. Don't climb to the top of the apple tree and taste the high-hanging fruit. This is part of the reason why I'm working to build art centers and computer labs for kids to learn coding. I'm not building gyms. I'm not interested in building football fields or doing football camps. I'm interested in doing film camps and coding camps. You don't have to be good at sports, young man. Go upstairs and finish practicing that trombone. You don't have to rap. You can score films. You don't have to dunk. You can cross over and own the basketball team. I'm over the low-hanging fruit. I'm at the top of the tree tossing down the really good fruit. This is important. I'm important. You're important. We're important. They're important. That's important. Y'all thought I was just a goofy dude here to make you laugh. Well, that's partially true. I do enjoy that. But it's bigger than that. That's all. Hashtag stay woke, bruh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice stuff. Yeah. I'm glad that's a message that's really important. Especially to young black people in America right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he was getting interviewed in the locker room after the game, he was wearing a NASA hat.
Hmm.
Yep.
So yeah, there's like videos of him photobombing sports reporters, just driving away in his SUV and just yelling out his window.
So, my one thing is I hope he doesn't stay in football for too long, because it would be sad to see a great mind like that basically dissolve into mush, basically.
Yeah. I guess why he's potentially focusing on that stuff
now. Other stuff, because it's true. It's true. I mean, football may be America's great sport, but that game, you play it too long, it will have adverse health effects on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not talking about just regular athletic injuries. I'm talking mental shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like one of his tweets in response to the media attention after saying he's not going to the White House. Is how you know he's a nerd. He says, media makes me seem like I'm Katniss Everdeen. Lol.
Yeah.
So. Honestly, I'll be honest with you. A lot of the old greats in football have basically said that I would not let my kids or grandkids play football now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an interview with fucking Mike Ditka. Hmm. And he's basically said, no, I would not let my kids play football.
Yeah.
And that guy was one of the most famous coaches in the sport.
Was until he got political.
Yeah. All right. So next up, Cody, XBMC may be coming back to Xbox.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you about this one here. Microsoft had a developer day recently, which they let the developers know ahead of time, but they let the press know about an hour and a half after it started. Because some parts of Microsoft apparently still can't communicate.
Oh.
So there's that. But anyway, Microsoft has basically said that the folks behind Kodi were very, very pleased with how the Universal Windows Platform app that they put out on the Windows Store has been doing. And just, they've decided that they're going to do a full conversion of Kodi to the Universal Windows Platform. That's a big undertaking, for one thing. But it also means that now it could run on the Xbox One.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't know when this is going to happen. This isn't something like for the immediate future, but the Kodi team did confirm it. They said, yeah, we're working on this. Probably going to take a while, but it's happening. So the program that basically started out on the original Xbox that you needed a mod chip to run will eventually end up as an official app that you could just download from the store.
Just pretty amazing.
From what I've seen of the app store on Xbox now, it's not exactly high praise necessarily. There's lots of weird, dumb stuff that's on there now.
Yeah, there is some weird and really dumb stuff. Microsoft really needs to do some more curation.
Lots of stuff that looks like Android apps. There's like, free Naruto.
Yeah.
Here's all this anime you can get for free because we pirated it.
Yeah.
Here's links to those shady YouTube videos of all the bad stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Oh. Cool. Now to start off our Netflix segment.
Yeah.
First things first. In a big surprise, Netflix is getting a Castlevania 3 project.
Yeah. Which apparently is what we might have been talking about a few weeks ago.
Yep. And this is actually a pretty good game to start off the whole franchise with, really. Castlevania 3, for the record, I think of the original NES games is probably the best.
Most open to interpretation.
Yeah, most open to interpretation, has more characters than just the Belmont that you could play as.
Yeah.
One of whom ends up becoming very much more important later on down the line.
Yeah.
It just could be a great start to a great Castlevania TV franchise.
It is going to launch careers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If they do this correctly, and considering who it's by.
Yeah. This isn't a PG or G-rated show from what I'm hearing. This is going to be more mature.
I think it says super violent Castlevania miniseries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
dark, satirical, and after a decade of propaganda, it will flip the vampire subgenre on its head.
Yeah.
You know, real fucking vampires.
if vampires were real, but they're not.
Oh, yeah. I was. Okay, thing. They're talking about sparkle vampires.
Yeah. This is by Fredinator. People who've done Adventure Time, Bravest Warrior.
So is this going to be.
Got a pedigree.
Hand animated or CG?
Sure.
Yeah. I don't think they're saying right now.
Okay.
I'd be fine with either one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard good things about the Skylanders show they got on there. So more good video game stuff would be pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and the showrunner of this is going to be Adi Shankar, and this isn't the only project he's got up his sleeve. You know what else he's got?
What's that?
An R-rated Power Rangers reboot.
Oh, dear.
A complete retelling of the first three seasons.
And he's the guy who was behind that that sort of mock-up trailer for a similar project. This one looks like it's going to be animated, though.
Yeah.
Wow. So we're talking more in the key of the old Spawn series.
I'm okay with that.
That's actually not a bad idea. Mm-hmm. The old Spawn series was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Damn right it was.
Mm-hmm. And, the only way this could be better is we suddenly surprised and found out that Gen Urobuchi was somehow in the project.
Oh, man. he did great work with Kamen Rider, so...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you finally watch that, Brandon?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I got a source. Just need to take the time out to do it. I'm very much... Everything I'm hearing, I did watch also a bit of Thunderbolt Fantasy as well, which was also really good. Do you know what that is?
I'm not sure.
That is the sort of Wuja Fantasy show that he did. They're currently working on the second season, completely done with glove puppets.
Nice.
It's actually really awesome.
Wow.
It sounds ridiculous. They've got like a sort of example of part of the first episode on YouTube if you want to watch it, just to get an example of what you're looking at. It's pretty amazing. But anyway, so some more Netflix's news. Dear White People on Netflix. Hey, guess what type of reaction it's inspired?
Yeah, the racist neo-Nazi part of Twitter went nuts. Particularly a guy named Timothy Treadstone, I guess, used to be at BuzzFeed. Yeah. Basically said, Netflix announced a new anti-white show, Dear White People, that promotes white genocide, which is the most ridiculous thing I always see brought up by these people. It's like white genocide. Like, there had to be a lot of shit that goes on for white people genocide to happen. But as a result of his expert knowledge of what this show is, he canceled his account, posted a screenshot of the cancellation page, which includes his email on it. His iCloud email. So I want to say there are screenshots of him being signed, his inbox being filled up with 7,000 pieces of mail.
Hmm.
Because he got signed up for tons of stuff, and people were signing him up for, I don't think it was ACL use specifically, but some similar organization like that.
Yeah.
So he's getting a lot of the hilarious shit that.
Get him to subscription to like a black gay porn site.
Yeah.
Probably.
I'm sure there's
that.
Lots of that.
Or interracial. Yes.
Yeah. But also, this is an iCloud email account.
Oh, yeah.
So people could potentially get into his iCloud account.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm sure Netflix is like, don't let the door hit your ass on the way out.
Yeah. It shows his email app 7,559 new messages.
God, these fuckers are not smart, are they?
Nope.
They're really not.
No.
But yeah, for people that don't know the show, it's based on the 2014 movie of the same name, which I saw has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 91%, so it's supposed to be pretty good.
Mm.
Yeah.
By Justin Simien, who is heading up this show.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a retelling. I imagine probably early on it's going to be a retelling of a number of the things that are in the movie, but and keeps going.
Mm.
It's very much about a black girl at a mostly white college and sort of her calling out people on their racist bullshit, especially in this particular trailer's. Her ticking off a list of acceptable Halloween costumes like pirate, slutty nurse, any of our first 43 presidents. Top of the list of unacceptable costumes, me. And they show a bunch of students in blackface.
It happens.
And so now people are absolutely livid because of the notion of a show called Dear White People. Even though supposedly from what people have said about the movies, like they address that obvious issue within the first few minutes. And so the rest of it is seemingly like a constructive breakdown of that whole concept of, well, here's a black teen, I guess teenage girl at college and sort of her experience in an all or mostly white area or school, sort of her experiences in that.
Yeah.
How it should be a good education experience of learning what the other side sees.
Hmm.
But no, people throw a fit on the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
So, another Netflix story. We're getting a reboot of The Magic School Bus, and it's going to feature none other than Kate McKinnon.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yay.
I've tried to watch the original show on Netflix, and I think I can't get past the first episode, which is features Arnold's cousin, where they go out into the solar system, and she's just a fucking bitch the entire time.
Yeah,
frozen, nearly killed.
Either that, or it's either in that show, she's usually either a total bitch or she is wasted on cocaine.
Yeah.
Explains her, you know, her wardrobe.
Yeah. I saw a tweet about this sort of saying, we're passing. Lily Tomlin was the voice of Miss Frizzle before, and sort of passing the torch between queer actresses.
Nice.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, also, we got a new Marvel show coming.
Yep,
Iron Fist.
Iron Fist. It's going to be out March 21st.
That one probably
March 17th.
Good.
got the wrong date on there.
Okay, that's cool. It's March 17th, not March 21st.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that sounds awesome. Iron Fist is one of those Marvel characters that is kind of obscure, but he really shouldn't be because he's kind of awesome.
Hmm.
He was basically one of the handful of characters that came out in Marvel in the 70s during their whole Kung Fu wave.
Yeah.
So he's basically he's a masked martial artist.
Hmm.
And he's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And
then
and,
there's the one that I'm waiting for.
Yeah, what's that one?
Bill Nye Saves the World.
Yep, it's coming out April 21st.
Hmm.
Yep.
God, is it a show we needed?
Yep.
They basically have... I'm pretty sure Bill Nye hasn't really been an active host on television for a little while now.
No.
No, he's done, like, YouTube stuff, and he's done appearances, yep. But no, he hasn't had a series in quite a while.
And I guess he's at a point now where he's like, shit, I need to get back into TV, because apparently I didn't do a good enough fucking job on Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Apparently yeah. Not.
And this show looks like
there's
it's going
to
be pretty fun.
To do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it looks like something of a live audience show where he has like a special host comes on with him.
Looks like Degrassi Tyson's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
And they got somebody from the San Francisco Giants and a bunch of others. I think they list a bunch of them in the trailer. See if I can skip up to that part.
Hmm.
There's a bunch of people here. I don't know all of them. Yeah. I think some of them are like YouTube science people.
Yeah.
Zach Braff, Rachel Bloom, Diamond Stone, Tim Gunn, Donald Faison, Will Wheaton, Joe McHale, Steve Aoki. And sort of doing cool science shit.
Yeah.
Burning stuff, blowing up stuff, showing cool other things. Show somebody walking over hot coals.
Yeah. Some of that kind of debunking shit, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a guess that some of these shows are probably going to focus on climate science.
Oh, yeah. Probably.
Because,
an oblate spheroid being the Earth instead of flat. And you know that, as he told Ken Ham, there are trees older than you think the Earth is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, for the best ads and trailers from Super Bowl 51. First of all, before we do that, I want to say, I don't care if you win, fuck you, Tom Brady. If the Falcons were doing so great and then you assholes decided to step your game up and basically win the fucking game within the last, 15 goddamn minutes?
Well, it was a steady boil from the third quarter all the way to the fourth. It was just constant catch-up.
Yeah.
You know.
Shows how the 1% always wins.
Hey, at least you can take this to heart. This was literally the first game in Super Bowl history that actually went into overtime.
Hmm. Was it?
Yes, it was.
Hmm.
And that is literally like, so you got to give the Falcons that.
Yeah.
They played such a hell of a game that they actually broke a record.
Yeah. We talk about Gaga.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
You saw that whole thing that they did at the beginning with the 300 drones.
Yeah. They did that at a separate time.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was
they
still
like
something.
2 days earlier, but it was pretty cool.
It wasn't live, but it was still really damn cool. But I'd like to point out, Brandon, you've read Kill Decision?
Yes, I have.
You know how this is going to go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear. 300 drones swarming. Yeah. This goes badly very quickly, and probably, next year, we're going to have swarms of drones.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, so first things first, we got a trailer for season 2 of Stranger Things.
Yes,
and it looks fucking awesome.
Oh yeah,
especially when it starts with an Eggo commercial from the '80s.
Yeah,
that one, that's just perfect.
Yep. Go my Eggo.
I was like, wait, did Lego the Eggo people go in for some weird commercial. It's like, nope, no, it's Stranger it's, Things.
Yeah.
It's just, it's 11. It's 11's thing. The yeah. really fucking loves Echo Waffles. And she will murder you.
And that big and she, now she's got thing. Curly hair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So,
actually, yeah, they show some... Now. It seems like the Upside Down is infested into the real world. There's some fucked up shit on the horizon. Now I want to watch the first season to get ready for this thing to come out in... It comes out on Halloween.
Yeah. See, Netflix is no longer optional now. I think all the good stuff is coming out on Netflix.
Yeah.
So
it's, it's all getting very Stephen King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on Netflix.
Right.
Yeah.
So also we got a trailer for Nat Geo's Genius. This one focusing on Albert Einstein.
Yeah, Albert Einstein when he's in Nazi Germany.
Yep.
Saw that trailer and it looks really cool.
I don't know
if it's going to turn out to be good, but at least the minute or two they've shown looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We also got a trailer for the next Fast and the Furious.
Because they're still making those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I found it really weird that the description in the YouTube video mentions how it's one of the fastest movies to reach $1 billion worldwide. It's like, you're not being very humble about this.
No.
You're just straight up saying the
and
last
the only reason
so
that happened
huge,
is because one of your cast died during the filming.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, this movie looks ridiculous and fun, potentially.
Yeah.
We also got the latest trailer for Logan.
Which is also looking better.
Yep.
All right. That's pretty awesome. Going to be Old Man Logan and X-73.
Yep.
Yeah.
X-23.
Well, I'm tired of trailers having Amazing Grace in them.
Yeah. Me too.
God damn it. And, of course, we got a trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yeah, please take my money.
Now. And my virginity. You can have them both. Actually, the other one doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. But...
it's nice to see Merle is still around.
Yeah, Merle is still around. Some new faces too, so yeah. It's looking good. Good
news. And then finally, of course, we got the ad that got all the Trump supporters pissed off.
Well, before that happened, everybody was boycotting Lady Gaga on the rumors. That her halftime show was going to get political and be against.
Yeah.
And I felt like I got screwed over when Alex Jones said it was going to be a satanic ritual.
God damn it. I was expecting blood orgies. God damn it.
No, there was none.
So basically, the ad we're talking about was the Anheuser-Busch ad.
That and there's 84 Lumber, too. A bunch of others.
There's a story behind that. The meaning was not what people thought it was.
Yeah.
But they ended up taking it that way.
Yeah.
All these other ones are just generic, everybody be good to each other, and that only becomes political because Trump has fucked everything up so bad in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. God damn it.
And his supporters are so insecure that they take anything, a message that... Yep. Tries to be positive as an affront.
How dare my beer be founded by immigrants?
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
Like, you know, Anheuser-Busch is not the most American name in the world. You know that, right?
No.
It's called Budweiser. Yeah. Budweiser. That's fucking German! Granted, it tastes like carbonated horse piss, but...
It's just... disgusting what a very slippery, not Native American history, but the white people who came over here and fucking did what we did. Do these people, do they pick their noses through their history classes?
Apparently.
I mean, if there was going to be an official language when they did all that shit, it was going to be German. Do people not see the road signs around them? There's German names everywhere. What the fuck? I stopped now. It's too late to get upset.
Yeah. All right. Are we going to – do we want to go ahead and go to the Gamerbag Remembrance, or do we want to do this other thing?
Let's do Gamerbag.
All right. We'll save that part for next week. Okay. Are we ready, folks? We are going to once again, in our continuation of our Gamerbag Remembrance of Dreamcast, official Dreamcast magazine number 2 from November 1999.
Yay.
All right.
You open it up and right there, and there's a shitty third-party controller.
I had that one.
I love how they got the, you know, the X-ray bone hands, because looking at that controller, it looks like it would
cause some fractures.
Eventually.
Yeah.
It's not even like those are anything but stock photo skeleton X-ray things. Like, it's not even tempting to hold the controller.
Yeah,
right. We're just gonna put these skeletons on top of this controller, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Looks like, what is this, the goddamn Batarang or something?
That's because regular human hands wouldn't comfortably fit over it, and they probably thought better than to depict that.
Is this the Minecraft
sure
one? Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Interact.
Oh, Interact. No, I didn't have that one. I had the Mad Catz version, which actually did fit good.
I'm pretty sure the original Xbox controller, like, prototypes, I think these are one of them. It's a basic idea of that is one of those.
So, all right. So next up, we've got... by the way, for those of you who are wondering, we ended last time in the coming soon section, which is the preview song. We're now on page 58. And it's a preview for Extreme Borders.
Yeah.
Because this was right around the time when, like... this was, I'm pretty sure this was before, like, SSX and SSX Tricky and all that out. Like, at this point,
after
it was
Cool Borders.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cool Borders. Also, Snowboard.
Well, no,
kids,
SSX wasn't
really
even
loved
a thing.
No.
Yeah.
Because that was the original SSX was a PS2 launch title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was.
Yeah, so this was before all that.
Yeah. I think it came out, Extreme Borders. No, this didn't come out as that title.
Probably came out something else.
Yeah, it came out as Rippin' Riders.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I remember this game now.
It was not good.
No, it was not. God damn it. We still had to wait a little while for Snowboarding Greatness.
Yeah.
I like how they made sure to mention.
No, we really didn't, because we had Cool Borders 3.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we had that.
Yeah.
And like how it mentions in this preview, you did the do, you've rocked the vote. Now it's time to take to the slopes.
Damn it, 90s.
Jesus. Seriously.
Well, this is the time of, like, Jip Moto being sponsored by Mountain Dew and having that all over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, and then we got an advertisement. Let's see. This is the heart.
It's ready for a comeback.
Yep. And look, we hear it's an advert for Soul Calibur.
A three-page one.
Yeah.
One, yep, two, which means it's important.
Yeah, very important.
There's not that much to advertise for games yet.
Yeah.
It was a fucking Soul Calibur. Oh, man. This game was great.
Yeah. Best Dreamcast launch game of the lot, I'd say.
Oh, yeah. This, of course, was the more or less... it was basically originally going to be, I guess, just the sequel to, I guess, Soul Blade or Soul Edge.
Yeah.
And it just ended up becoming the name of the franchise, because apparently this one and its sequel were just so goddamn successful.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was the iconic entry in that series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, and then let's
which
see.
Which was kind of a shame, because I felt Soul Edge deserved more recognition than it got.
Yeah.
It really should have. That game was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
That game had interactive endings.
Yeah.
You could fight a dude with a rifle.
Yeah.
Granted, it was something a flintlock. It took him a while to
do anything.
It took him a while to load it, and you did it in the first person too.
Yeah,
which was awesome. And I think that was kind of I kind of think that may have been sort of a fuck you to the Western FPS developers to a certain degree.
Maybe.
But okay, so our previews. We got Toy Commander. This game,
you can ignore that. You want to look at the page right to the right of it, because we never saw this.
Yes, yep. Castlevania Resurrection.
Yeah.
So this was the This was another 3D Castlevania game at a point when the 3D Castlevania games were not having the best reputation.
No. But when we saw this, it was like, well, wait, maybe they can actually do it properly.
And then it went poof.
Yeah, then it went away. And it was never seen again.
Never.
Hmm. It seems like this might have led into the PS2 games that they made.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you see, are you starting to realize now, Konami has always had some really awesome, you know, franchises, but let's be honest, they just don't really treat them all that well. Yeah. In fact, to be honest, a lot of time, later on, especially in the late 90s and onward, if they put out a part of an old franchise that was actually good, that was kind of incidental.
Yeah, it just kind of happened.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid is maybe one of the few that made the transition well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that happened pretty much due to the simple fact that Hideo Kojima was, you know, brave enough to stand up to the assholes in charge of Konami.
Yeah. And yeah. He's not there anymore, and now what do we have? Metal Gear Survive. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the That's the best way to end on that, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, just for anyone who's curious, the Toy Commander thing, it was basically, it had a solid idea, and it fucking sucked.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
All right. Then he got the subscription thing for Official Sega Dreamcast Magazine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ad for Power Stone. There we go.
Mm. That was a great
game. That's a game that needs to come back.
Yeah. Are you listening, Capcom? Need to bring this shit
back. I'm sure it's in the works now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, should we sort of quickly tell what Power Stone was and why it was so goddamn awesome?
Kind of like
it was a full 3D Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only, you know, it was original characters that, you know, in adult sizes.
Yeah.
In adult
sizes. Was
this
before Smash Brothers?
Yep.
Okay.
But it was.
It was because Power Stone was 99 and Smash Brothers was 2000, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yep. So this was like you had these big, elaborate stages with stairs and platforms. And yes, it was full three dimensional. There was all types of weapons you could pick up, everything from rocket launchers to swords to just all kinds of crazy shit. Mm. And
the sequel got on board and actually had proper. Four players.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I'm pretty sure in this one, everybody had their own special moves too, didn't they?
Sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I mean, being more of a brawler than a fighting game, you didn't have motions or anything. You just had different button combinations that you used.
Right.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, the first Power Stone didn't really get a whole lot of mileage out of it. Second one was a lot more well thought out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was
go ahead.
It was one of those it's one of a multitude of Capcom franchises that desperately needs some love in the modern age. Because if there is a game that I think would do amazing on like Xbox Live or or you know it would be this.
And not even
like
online.
That Choo Choo Rocket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, we got a preview for Soul Fighter. Don't remember this one.
Another beat 'em up that fucked up by not having co-op.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
One player.
And then we got an ad for the Neo Geo Pocket Color.
That thing was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
And then it went poof.
Yep.
Let's see. We got another ad for TNN Motorsports Hardcore Heat.
Oh.
God, that sounds like...
Oh, my God.
ENN.
Yeah, what you now know is...
Sounds like the most redneck thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
Now we know it is Spike
Network.
TV. Yeah, Spike TV.
Yeah. Yep, they are... This is what... This is Spike TV now.
Mm. Just have monster truck shows and all sorts of redneck stuff on there.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, considering that this Spike TV is supposed to be TV for men, you'd think they'd run porn every so often.
Yeah, FCC. All right.
So let's see. Then we got another preview for Draconis: Cult of the Worm,
which is a game I had high hopes for.
And
it
then
was a Treyarch game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a Treyarch game. And what happened?
I don't think I ever played it because it came because never by the time it came out, the Dreamcast had died.
Yeah. And then we have another ad, this one for Arrow Wings.
Hmm.
Question, what's the difference between a kamikaze and a Blue Impulse pilot?
Mm.
2 meters.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God, look at this next one.
What the?
90s.
Yeah, this is what Ubisoft used to be.
Yeah.
Games like Speed Devil, Suzuki, All-Stair, Monaco Grand Prix.
Mm.
Yep.
It's just...
Ah.
Wow,
they just make Assassin's Creed and Far Cry over and over again in various flavors.
Yeah.
Yep, pretty much.
Oh, I don't think Ubisoft had anything to do with Monaco Grand Prix. I think that was all Sega.
Monaco Probably. Grand Prix? No, that was Ubi Montreal.
Huh.
Huh. All right. Well, moving on from that disturbing image. Oh, here we go. It's the failure, Fighting Force 2.
God
damn it. Just... You took a great brawler and you turned it into this.
Yeah, just a mediocre third-person action game. Just yeah.
Desperately trying to get on Metal Gear's coattails, basically. Because, like I said last time, this is pretty much the era when you know that started happening. I mean, obviously, stuff like Tengu or Tengen, Tenchu had more or less existed already, but it became like a really big thing kind of off of Metal Gear's success. Mm. And then he also had Siphon Filter and just a shit ton of those games came out around this time.
Yeah.
Let's say, and then we got this ad from Infogrames.
Atari.
Expendable.
Expendable.
That game was fun. It was completely brain dead and mindless, but it was fun.
Yeah. Mm. And then we got
20 levels of adrenaline powered whoop ass.
Yep. That's the 90s.
Yep.
Sound and graphics that swallow you whole.
And then, of course, we got the ad for Slave Zero.
Mm. Very underrated.
Did that one ever come out?
Yep, it did.
What was how was it?
Very good. Very underrated.
Actually, wow. Huh. Check that one out then. Yeah. Alrighty then. Well, let's see what else we got. And then we got Test Drive 6.
Oh, yeah. That was not a good game.
Yeah. This was a good game. This
is a feature on that.
Yeah. Yeah, wasn't there. Yeah, that's what I was remembering. And then
TDDemo.com. That's a great URL.
And then we got. Pin.
Triisolon.
Oh, god damn it.
This is what it looks like when you're on acid when you make a game.
Yeah.
It played like that, too.
Mm.
God damn that fucking penguin. Look at that screenshot up there in the corner.
Yeah.
Imagine that coming at you.
It's like a frog penguin.
Mm.
With teeth. Then, of course, we got some more.
Like, somehow, if you could make racist images of, like, a hippo and a penguin and all these other creatures, somehow this is what it looks like.
Yeah.
Well, that walrus almost looks like a blackface caricature.
Yeah.
So is that shark, too. It almost looks like a... You know, God damn it, a lot of these look like racial characters.
Yeah. They do.
That's probably the secret of that game.
It's incredibly racist.
And then, of course, we got some announced. It looks like Striker Pro 2000. I can't see those other two.
Outcast.
Yeah.
Silver was decent.
Mm.
Silver.
Yeah.
And let's see. We got two more. Extreme Racing and Wild Metal. I'm pretty sure wasn't Wild Metal like a vehicular combat game?
Yeah.
From DMA Design.
Mm-hmm.
GTA people.
Before they became Rockstar.
Yeah.
The GTA and the Lemmings people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy to think about the people that are currently making GTA 5 and Red Dead Redemption and Bully and all that made Lemmings.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Which Sony owns now.
Mm-hmm.
Uh, And of course, Extreme Gaming was Extreme Racing. Pretty sure that was a motorcycle racer.
Yeah, it's a Suzuki All-Star game.
Yeah. I love the byline there. Even motorcycle racing is going extreme. It's nothing sacred.
90s.
And then we got the Sonic OVA. Skip over that.
Yeah, just don't watch that.
Don't, if you want to fucking have your ears bleed.
Mm. Look at this list of retailers that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Sam Goody.
Oh, wow.
Tower,
shall
Richard
we? Shall
Spurgeon,
we? Let's look.
Suncoast.
Yeah.
Record Town.
Dead. Well, Sam Goody. Isn't that Sam's?
No.
That's a difference. Okay, yeah. That's
Sam's is
okay.
Walmart, basically.
Yeah okay. Yeah. Tower, Virgin. Yep, they're all dead.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I know this is stupid because honestly it comes from just wistfulness, but I do admittedly miss the experience of going into a music shop.
Hmm.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I used to talk about media. I used to go to Media Play all the goddamn time, and Media Play at its best was like the...
Oh, that was great.
It was the king nerd place. Yeah. Like, you wanted...
There was Sam Goody / Music Land.
Hmm.
Yeah. FYE.
Hey, that's still around.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told this story already, didn't I?
Hmm.
About the FYE story.
Possibly.
About how, you know, FYE, back when they were still doing VHSs at the mall I was at, that, you know, they used to stock porn.
Okay.
And that a long time they didn't realize, apparently no one realized this, they had the one that was keeping the porn tapes facing out at the glass.
Whoops.
Yeah. All right, so moving on from then, and oh my god. Yep, it's Seaman.
Yeah.
We talked about this a lot in the last episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is sort of representative of why Sega was awesome back in the day.
Yeah, it's just bizarre weirdness.
They were willing to take risks on stuff like this.
Yeah, well, they kind of had to.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, this game, you know, and here's the thing, you know, maybe this game was maybe only moderately successful, but people still remember this shit all these years later.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I played it for a whole summer, just playing whatever chunk you had to play per day.
Yeah.
Sort of saw all the way to the end where he got freed.
Yeah.
And then we got an ad for House of the Dead too.
Yeah.
Before Uwe Boll came along and yeah. All right, and then we got Test Zone section. Let's go ahead and see what we got here. Well, first things first is this is where they I'm guessing they had they were putting a bunch of games together and finding out, you know, giving them awards and shit.
Yeah.
So, like, the first thing they got the best winners for gameplay was Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
They put it up against Virtua Fighter 3 TB. That wasn't even a fight. That was a massacre.
It was also not out at the time.
Nope. And, then, of course, runner-ups, they got Power Stone, Street Fighter Alpha 3, and Marvel vs. Capcom.
Mm.
And then as for MK Gold, they said, we'll call you. And then they gave them a nation ribbon.
Nope.
Oh, God. Oh, that was savage.
What else we got?
Oh, God. All right. And then for best graphics, once again, Soul Calibur.
Much remained that way for the rest of the generation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and there's Ivy.
Of course.
He is a fan favorite.
This is her most conservative form.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding. You know, there are times when I look back at old fighting games and still new fighting games, and I think, you know, sometimes the way that they designed the female characters, you know, was just a little over the top, you know, just adding sexiness for sexiness' sake. You know, just, you know, something that really adds no character, and honestly, in an actual fighting situation, would be pretty difficult to use. And then I think, damn, she's got nice tits. So
it's working on you, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a video that Rooster Teeth did of basically trying out some of these costumes.
Yeah.
And seeing how they actually worked out.
Yeah.
It depends on your perspective, whether you think it's good or bad that they censored it.
Yeah. All right. As for the runners-up, we got Power Stone, Virtua Fighter 3 TV, Street Fighter Alpha 3, Marvel vs. Capcom. Once again, MK Gold, it's the taking part that counts, participation ribbon.
Yeah. Round 3.
Round 3, best replay value. Guess who wins again?
Soul Calibur.
Soul Calibur. Hmm. Of course. I mean, again, that game was pretty amazing. We had Street Fighter Alpha 3, Power Stone, Virtua Fighter 3, TB, Marvel vs. Capcom, Runners Up, and the Turtle Wax goes to...
World Combat Gold.
And then as for best characters, well, we all knew who was going to win that one, Street Fighter.
Mm. Yeah.
It's fucking Street Fighter.
Yeah.
You know, those characters are not just best characters, they're iconic characters.
They've stood the test of time, and they are, even back then.
Yeah, and they are... part of our consciousness now.
Yep.
The super, and so ultimately the best winner, the grand winner, everybody knows what it was. It was going to be Soul Calibur, and of course the grand loser was
Mortal Kombat Gold.
Got a 3.
IGN.com and cast compatible.
Okay.
Moving on. Sega Sports NFL 2K for the test zone. Yeah, this is the review, I guess.
Yeah.
They gave it a 9 out of 10.
For a first outing on Dreamcast, it was actually... Yeah,
it was quite incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these guys had made Madden before.
Yeah.
They developed at least a few of them.
Yeah. And, take a look at those graphics. That was state-of-the-art at the time.
Yeah.
Like, then the PS2 came out and gave us shininess.
Yeah, everything was shiny.
So let's see what else we got. Trick Style.
Moving on.
They got a
Don't play this game.
It got a middling 6 out of 10.
Yeah, that was generous.
Pluses: futuristic design, smooth two-player mode, loads of tracks, tricks, and extras for racing fans. Cons: no give or grace period for novices. Track designed by the not by the Marquis de Sade.
Yeah. Not the singing Sade either.
Yeah.
That's Sade.
Yeah.
Sade? Okay.
Yeah, Sade. Mm. That was her name. Sade. all right, moving on. Oh, and we got another Mad Cats controller, too.
Yeah.
And then we got Monaco Grand Prix.
Which was all right.
Just a man on fire.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I'm not quite sure how it's selling this game, but okay.
Yeah.
It's strangely symbolic all the same.
Yeah. By the way, those of you who are listening, hopefully next week we're going to get to where we're going to talk about comic books in the 90s.
Yeah.
And let's just say that at their worst, they were as symptomatic of this as video games were. Mm. So
yeah.
Hold on to your hat. Let's see. Ready to Rumble Boxing.
Mm. Yeah, this was all right, but not the greatest game on the Dreamcast.
Yeah, it was more of a novelty.
Yeah.
Just, to be honest.
Yeah, I want to say this first game had a big problem with the first, like, version of the game that came out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, audio problems.
Yeah.
Yes. People had to get replacement discs.
Yeah, the discs were pressed badly.
Yeah. Let's see,
which was something that just about every Midway game on the launch dealt with.
Yeah, it basically got a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
cons. Depth, we don't need no stinking.
Just mash buttons. That's all you gotta do.
Oh, God. And next up, one of the biggest disappointments of the Dreamcast.
Oh, God. Blue Stinger.
Blue Stinger. This game was fucking hyped to crazy.
Yeah.
Up to the point of the Dreamcast launch. I mean, this game, the previews of this game were fucking everywhere.
Hmm.
They were, and they looked amazing.
Yeah, it was supposed to be spooky, it really did, and atmospheric, and then it came out.
You know, the environments were really elaborate.
Yeah. And then it came out, and it was god-awful.
Yes.
It's a silly Japanese game.
Hmm.
Yeah. It got a 6 out of 10.
Lots of 6 out of 10s of this magazine.
Well, it's a Sega, so
And it's a launch lineup.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I like the captions for the two of the screenshots, 5 and 6 there. It says, 5, collect coins from corpses a la Mario 64. Weird. 6, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
Let's see. Dialogue and lip syncing strictly first generation.
Yeah.
Man, that is...
Also,
this is sort of what a lot of games did back then. Is after Resident Evil came out, it's like, let's do that.
Yeah,
there are tons of Resident Evil clones.
Yeah.
Oh, so many Resident Evil clones. At least one or two of them by the Resident Evil creator himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we got NFL Blitz 2000.
Mm. Solid game.
It got a 6 out of 10 as well.
Mm. I had fun.
Mm.
And then there's the test roundup. Where they sort of just give you about 12 short reviews in 2 pages.
Yeah, a bunch of mini-reviews.
Let's see, what do we got? We got Hydro Thunder. Damn, that game was fun.
Buy that game.
Yeah. Flag the Flag.
Oh, one of my all-time favorite arcade racers.
Mm. Yep, it got a 7.
Mm.
Maybe would have bumped it up to an 8. Mm. But yeah, it's one of those games. If you ever get a chance to play it, do it, because Sega was still on top of their game with the arcade racers at the time, mm-hmm. and Flag to Flag just should not have been a one-off.
Yeah.
We also have Sega Bass Fishing,
mm-hmm.
One in a long line of fishing games.
Yeah.
We got Dynamite Cop.
Good game.
The nightmare-inducing Pin Triathlon. Expendable, which got a 3.
Yeah.
Arrow Wings, he mentioned that, it got a 7. TNN Hardcore Heat, it got 6. Air Force Delta, Speed Devils, Tokyo Extreme Racer, and Monaco Grand Prix.
Hmm. 6 racing games.
Dynamite Cop probably should have gotten a higher score than it did.
Yeah. I don't think there was much appreciation for ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
Games back then.
Tokyo Extreme Racer, if I'm not mistaken, isn't that Shutoko Battle?
Yep.
Probably.
Yep, it is exactly.
All right. And then up, we got an ad for DailyRadar.com.
Hmm. Does that still exist?
40 on the curb. There's Games Radar, which is sort of
an offshoot.
Mm. Yeah.
But Daily Radar has been gone for upwards of a decade, I believe.
Yep.
I remember reading their satirical their articles. Mm-hmm. Some really funny stuff. It's like, how to sharpen a monkey.
Yeah. And then we get the how-to section, which is the tips, codes, and strategy section. So here's the...
Soul Calibur.
Mm.
Yep. Features one of the most addictive time you win a mission by completing. So it's basically... Oh, this is how you get all the art cards.
Yeah, so the whole Edge Master mode, which was just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I like the art style on this.
Yeah, the chibi thing.
Yeah. They should make a game with just that art style.
Mm. Yeah. And even in the chibi, you know, Taki still has giant tits. So does Ivy, as the next page shows.
Right in the middle where the two pages are coming together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's totally not by design.
Gonna have a boob on each page.
Yep. And we also got the secret missions list as well.
Yeah. Which very, very helpful to have on hand.
Mm-hmm. And of course stuff you can do with the arcade mode.
Yeah.
And then we got the Power Stone section, where it looks like this is all the stuff you could collect. Gatling gun, ray gun, long staff, blah, 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 blah. All types of awesome stuff.
Hmm.
And then there was Gamer's Day 1999, and dear God, that is terrifying.
That's almost Sonic bad.
Wow.
Sonic's fan base is diverse, as Helsing.
It's supposed to be a bomb. Bridge.
I don't...
It's like a papier-mâché bomb or something like that.
Well, it kind of looks like it. Because there's the wig.
I think that would come a couple years later.
That's very symbolic for what Adventure was.
It fucking Jesus, did Chris Chan build this thing? Jesus. And then it looks like, oh God, Limp Bizkit showed up.
Oh God, Fred.
I mean, that was the '90s.
Yeah,
99.
Durst everything up.
This was actually the family. This was the family. Yeah, this was the family values tour, by the way.
Yeah.
So, like, this was basically
Redman.
It was the new metal fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we look back at that.
A little bit of new metal.
And now we look back at that and we're just like, God damn it, what were we smoking?
Yeah.
And the Sega Mobile Assault Tour.
Again.
90s.
90s. Yeah. Then they got GameCave.com where you could order shit.
No longer exists.
Sega sites.
Yeah. And let's see. Oh, and then they got the End Zone, which is the I'm pretty sure that's for the contest, and you could actually win a World Series 99 arcade cabinet.
Yeah.
Oh God, one of these sites is a tripod page.
Oh my God.
Members.tripod.com/FaberP.
Does it even exist anymore?
Like a strange and rare video game picks page.
And then, finally, we get a GameStop advert.
Hey, they're still around.
Yeah, no kidding.
For how much longer, we don't know.
That must have been not long after they changed their name from Funko Land.
Probably.
And it says,
GameStop is Funko Land?
Yeah.
Yeah, they bought them and Babbage's and Software.
Oh, well, they bought them. It's a little different than being them.
Well, they were also EB Games, but then bought by GameStop.
And still are in some parts of the world, but no, I thought you meant that they were literally Funko Land that had rebranded into GameStop. And,
No, but a lot of the stores probably rebranded into GameStop.
Yeah.
And then finally, at the very end, at the back page. Yeah, and then finally at the end, at the back page, we've got a ad for L-Force Delta. Yeah.
Konami game.
Never got around to playing that.
It's apparently not bad, but I never played it.
So, there are still a couple more of the official Dreamcast magazines on the archive site, and so we'll get around to them at some point.
This guy's ass is lit up on the back.
Yeah.
Not sure why.
But really, let me ask you guys, after having looked through this magazine and thinking back on the sort of Dreamcast days, what comes to your mind?
Oh, nostalgia.
Just nostalgia, just sort of like, God, they fucked up so badly.
Well, for me, it was kind of like there was like kind of a sense of hope, making in the sense that maybe Sega was starting to get their shit together again. And then, well, EA decided not to back them, and then the PlayStation 2 came out, and that was all she wrote. So, yeah.
Yep. And there you go. That's pretty much all you can basically say.
Yeah, EA Square. Everybody else that had big games said, "Yeah, we're gonna put those on the PS2 instead."
Mm-hmm.
So, and just because it was the PS2.
Yep. Yep. Well, was once again the end of our Gamer Mag Remembrance segment for this episode, and so I do believe we have a show.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
It was a good show too. So, I would like to remind all of our listeners that you can, if you wish to, write in or ask us a question, have something to say, want to call us stupid beta male cucks or whatever the internet is up to these days. You can write us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. If you write in, we will be more than happy to answer any questions you have or have something you want us to read on the air. If you want to critique us, if you think there's a game we should talk about, or if you want to send us your political manifesto, well,
could do that too.
You never know. We've always got space to fill. So also, you can of course download us on iTunes and basically every other place in existence.
Yeah, we're not hard to find.
No. So, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Sologi, and Teresa Sammons, I would like to say good night, get some sleep out there, and fuck it, that's the end of the show. Good night, everybody.